following what we're calling a year of growth teaching program, or ARC, and that's consisted of many mini-series. And we've just got two to go until we finish this particular year of growth. And this one, which starts today, we're calling Bearing Fruit in Every Season. And the basic premise is very simple. Life goes through seasons, and some of them just arrive quite expectedly because life changes. You grow from childhood to adulthood, and you go through various seasons, and we all know they're coming. And some seasons catch us unawares. They're unexpected. That could be illness or some other unexpected season of life. Some of the seasons that we go through in life are welcome, and some are not. And over the next few weeks, we've invited a number of our church family members, those who will be familiar, the 10 and the 5, to share extended testimony about how God has enabled and is enabling them to bear fruit in the seasons of life in which they find themselves. We're doing it a slightly different way. We're going to do it sofa style. And even though it's still people at the front of a church talking, it's a slightly different skill in listening because it's not somebody standing and, as it were, explicitly teaching from Scripture. So I just want to encourage you to listen for the little nuggets of God speaking to you through other people's stories. Hopefully you will have been given an A5 card with the title, Bearing Fruit in Every Season. I've got a Blue Peter version here with me. There's somebody filled in earlier and then left at the end of the 10. So I hope you're able to take yours home. The graphologist on team will be working out who that is and will be posting it out to them during the week. But do grab a pen and a card. And on there, you'll find what we're doing for the next few weeks. We've got a number of generic questions, which will be on the resources page on the website if you want to download it. And then there'll be specific questions every week. And those are the questions that Derek and Sue this evening have put to help you respond to what they're going to share with us in just a moment. And if you're part of a small group, and if you're not, why not do this in a friendship group? We're suggesting that over the next handful of weeks that we get into the habit in our small groups or in our friendship communities of sharing similar testimony. Ask the question, what season of life are you in? How is God getting your attention and what for? And how is he helping you to bear fruit in this particular season of life? Our Year of Growth series as a whole ends on the 22nd of July, and we're calling that Harvest Festival. Seems appropriate at the end of a year of growth. And what we'd like to do is harvest a whole load more testimonies. We hear so many good stories about what God is doing in people's lives through the teaching that this year is involved. And we'd love you, if you are tech savvy, why not? We've set up a little email that, again, is on the resources page on the website. Email in a 30-second taster on your tablet, mobile device, or whatever. I know not of what I speak, but I know these things exist. Why not send us in a 30-second taster of your testimony of something God has done for you during this year of teaching? We're going to make a collage of them, and we hope to invite a certain number of our church family members to share testimony together on the 22nd of July, which this year will be our Harvest Festival. So is that all clear? I think that'll be good. Excellent. Right, before we invite Derek and Sue up, I know that people look at Mark and Julia on the screen and wonder whether they just have a virtual existence. So just to make sure, every so often we give them something to do in the real world, and this evening Mark is going to come and read the Bible to us. You won't need a Bible because there are some verses from around the scriptures. They'll be on the screens in front of you. Thanks, Mark.
Great. We have three short readings today from the book of Psalms and the Gospel of John. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And then the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And finally, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is the word of the Lord.
So it's always quite a brave thing to give testimony in church, and particularly when you're kicking off the season. So let's put our hands together for the wonderful Derek and Sue. Wonderful. I don't want to give away too much of what's to come, but for those of you who may not know, I mean, Derek and Sue are both they come to the 10 and the 5, so many of you will know them. But if you don't know them, Derek has recently stopped being church warden here. And this morning, I don't know, we had a bit of rain this morning. Anybody else have a bit of rain this morning? In fact, we had so much rain this morning, we couldn't just keep it all outside. We had to let some of it in. And we decided to let some of it in over that light up there. You can just see the damage. And we had to turn the lights off. And Derek, who's no longer church warden, went and saw Graham, who succeeded him as church warden, and pointed it out and said, right, you need to get that fixed. And there was just a little too much delight in your voice, I think, Derek, at the time. But you've called your talk today Four Seasons. And it just reminded me of the old line about the British middle classes go through four seasons of life. There's Gaga, there's Arga, there's Saga, and there's back to Gaga. So don't know where you lot fit in that, but oh dear, people are shaking their heads at me. Never mind.
It's all to do with pizza, actually.
It's all to do with pizza. Fantastic. So just tell us something of your journey from when you arrived at Christchurch. Has it always been smooth?
Well, as you said, it's about the four seasons. And as we're aging now, Paul, we really have, or going into our fourth season. And so as we were preparing for our talk today, we reflected quite a lot. And we can really see God's hand in our lives. Sometimes, though, it was through chance meetings with people, that unexpected conversation, coincidences, but lots of these incidents had a huge impact on our lives. The first time we came to Christchurch was in 1985. That was 33 years ago. We were 34 years old. We had three sons.
Yeah.
We had three sons who were 7, 6, and 4. And we were attending our local church, but the children's work was non-existent. And we were looking for a church where we could worship together as a family and where the children could have an opportunity to learn about God, Jesus, and thrive. A chance conversation during a picnic with some friends who attended Christchurch happened. We had a conversation and they suggested that we come to Christchurch and try it. And so we did. And we thought, yeah, this would be great for us as a family. At that time, we attended a basics course. It's like an equivalent to Alpha today. And very soon, we committed our lives to Christ at the front here. And the course members became part of our home group. And we stayed with them for many years. Meanwhile, our three sons were growing. And they went through all the children's groups, finishing with Meeting Point. And that involved a lot of years and a lot of ferrying back and forth because we lived the other side of town. And
So when, I think when Orion was 17 and could drive a car or learn to drive a car, we really paid for the lessons joyfully. It just meant less travel for us, but it was great for him as well.
So they were ending up, I think, in Meeting Point, led by Silas and Annie, who were the youth workers here, our eldest two, and the youngest with Neil Hopkins, who was the youth minister then. Our sons are now 41, 39, and 37, with lovely wives, and we have seven grandchildren, ranging from 16 right down to one. They're like this, four girls, three boys. And what we're very joyful about is they're very active in their church. All sounds pretty rosy, but we had quite a few bumps along the way. If you have children or nieces, cousins, sisters, brothers, you will know that all families have difficulties and need extra support at different times for whatever reason. And this happened to us and as our children grew. One small example that comes to mind was our eldest son. He didn't want to come to church when he was 16. He'd had enough. He was hanging about the streets a little bit with lads we didn't really know. So we were slightly anxious about him. And I had been saving, I think it was £5 a week in an envelope, for a particular piece of furniture. And I'd got to £100. And at that time, Silas, who was the youth minister, I was chatting with him. They were taking the youth off to a camp. And they needed a drummer. And I said, oh, our eldest plays the drums really, really well. Could he come? He said, well, if he wants to, that would be great. And I said, well, I've got the money. It was about £100. So I gave Silas the money in a white envelope. I remember he was standing over there. And said to her, you know, you can go to camp if you want to. You know, I've got the money for it. And he said, okay. I said, they need a drummer. You don't have to take part in any of the worship. Doesn't matter, just go along and play the drums.
Forget the Christian stuff.
Yeah. And off he went for the week. And when he got off the coach a week later, he was beaming and he'd given his life to Christ, which was amazing.
Yeah.
During this time, I was rushed into hospital with gallbladder problems. And whilst in hospital, they discovered I had a tumour in my kidney in 2004, and I had to have my gallbladder and kidney removed at the same time. So it was 6 months recovery. I'm fine now. And so this was a difficult time. There was also the sudden death of my sister, and that was difficult to cope with, my only sibling. And also during this period, I was involved with my aging mum who lived in Cardiff. She was fiercely independent and involved me often travelling across to Cardiff. Especially when she was in hospital, managing. I was also managing a very demanding teaching job. It was tough, but throughout all that time, we did have a sense of God looking after us, being part of Christ Church. Our lovely home group sustained us, and we did feel God's love through our Christian friends and our other friends as well. And praying into those situations certainly helped us, although sometimes it was really difficult.
So, Derek, tell us a little bit about that that early Christian journey, coming to faith. Tell us something about how life changed and what we would see as the fruit of deciding to follow Jesus.
For me personally, when I became a Christian, and again, it's always looking back and hindsight. A lot of what we talk about is through hindsight and through just looking back, reflecting, and hopefully we're getting better at recognizing God in situations much quicker than we did before. It might take me, when we first started, it would take us a few years to think, oh yeah, that was God in that. But instantly, when I became a Christian, and it was quite dramatic, my relationship with my sons, I'm an ex-school teacher, so my relationship with pupils changed, and it changed for the better. When you're forgiven as a young Christian, you know that you have to forgive others, and it's what God is telling us. And I was able to do that with. And so, in my old previous school, I would shout at kids if they did something wrong, and perhaps lose my temper, and that would be it. They get punished, and I just forget all about it. Just carry on with my job. But when I became a Christian, that changed. I needed to make sure that the relationship I had with my sons, as with Sue, and with my pupils, was on a different level. So if I was in a bad temper, particularly on a Monday morning, having had a wonderful weekend, teaching Year 11s, maths, it was quite difficult. But I was able, God gave me the strength to do that. And I think part of looking back is that, and looking at how God has guided us, He provided with us, I think, with two major things. And that was a new job. I walked into a job, and it literally walked into it. Same job I was doing in a tough school in Northwest, and I joined a Christian school, a Catholic school, which had a real Christian ethos. And looking back, I knew that was God's providence. And the second one was He provided a house. He didn't, you know, we paid the money, but the house became an amazing place for our children. You know, there were three boys, really active, huge garden. You wouldn't think it in the middle of Brissenden. Those people who've been to our house will know it overlooks a valley. You know, it's just a great adventure ground for our children and for us to be hosts for our home group. And again, looking back, for the first 2 years, we'd been asked to be Pathfinder leaders. And we'd been Christians, I don't know, 3 months. And then someone says, it was the social vicar at the time, now or Bishop of Liverpool, said, would you be a Pathfinder leader? And we said, yes, of course. And I think that was a really good introduction into church life, into working with youngsters in a Christian way. And I think that when you look back, it just builds you up. We had part of a home group where we learned to read scripture, study scripture, pray, be part of a fellowship. And it just helps us grow, I think. And and I would recommend that for anybody in church to actually get really stuck into church life. Of the fruits, we talked about the fruits, and Sue's mentioned our three sons. Obviously, now they're that age, Sue said. I never remember. They're all in Exeter, and our eldest is part of a project called Church Park Life in Heavytree. Quick explanation, it's a community project that they're involved in. A number of Christians and non-Christians got together and said, let's sort this park out, and they've been putting events on. And just last week, they've just got permission for a community cafe to be built in the park from which they can feed people but also supply them, I think, with care, you know, financial concerns and things like that. So part of, you know, from little acorns, what's the phrase? When little acorns, big trees grow, oak trees grow. And I think that's the case with all of our three sons. The second one is a barrister. His main concern is with vulnerable adults and vulnerable young adults. And that seems to be the course that he's taking. And our youngest son is really involved with his church. And the church has grown so much that they want to plant that church out. And he's going to be part of that leadership. So, you know, we're really blessed with our three sons. And I know that in some families that's not the case. But for us, it's just a blessing. I don't want to brag about my boys, but I'm really, really proud of them.
quite a lot of you here this evening listening to Derek and Sue are of a younger generation, and I'm of a slightly younger generation, only slightly. But I always find it encouraging listening to Christians who've gone ahead of me, and that sense that the rhythms of prayer and discipleship and service have really kept them going and really bearing fruit, and it's something to aspire to. So let's move on. Derek and Sue said that was going to be the longest season, the longest they're going to talk about. Mm. Retirement came in 2008. Mm. Tell us what impact that had upon you.
Well, retirement wasn't an easy decision for me, but it was for Derek. I took a few months of thinking about it and praying about it. I was in quite a senior position at this point, and I loved my job, but I think I was getting quite tired, and particularly with my previous illness, and eventually retiring seemed like a good call. So we retired in 2008, and we had opportunities then of a different nature. We were fortunate to be able to buy a motorhome, which enabled us to travel a lot around the coast of this country, seeing God's wonderful creation in many forms, refreshed our bodies, our souls, our minds, and we were feeling good, weren't we? Mm. We went to New Wine for the first time, worshipping with many thousands. That was a new experience
in
for
the,
us.
In the mud and the rain?
Yeah. And at that time, we attended a Living Free course, which enables our faith to deepen and learn about the Holy Spirit in a new way. It was becoming more alive to us. We had joined a new local community home group where there were lots of young couples, and we had a season of many weddings. Again, the challenge is, by this time my mum was quite poorly, and I managed to persuade her to move to Bristol to a nursing home where we could be closer to her. Our sons are now men with families, and life isn't always smooth, particularly when all these babies were arriving. I've had another health issue with my right eye, but it's settled again at the moment, which is good. But again, in each of these challenges, we've seen God's hand guiding us, particularly when we reflect back on events.
So I'm fascinated by this this sense of the Holy Spirit becoming more alive. Many people here will have a sense of what that means, but for anybody who isn't sure, you're talking a lot about God's guidance, the way His hand is with you. How do you experience that when you talk about the Holy Spirit coming alive? What does it look like?
I think in the first season we were really led by God's word, and I think in the second season when we retired, going to New Wine, Living Free course, and Paul coming, you know, and bringing that sort of word and spirit to the church, enabled us to absorb what the Holy Spirit was. It wasn't just a person in the Bible; it was real. And while we were worshiping, I didn't say this morning because it didn't happen. But when we were worshiping just now, Paul talked about the Spirit and Jesus being gentle, and that's for me. And I could feel it down there. I do have a physical experience, not all the time, and it's different for other people, of a gentle breeze on my hands and my face. And I've often said to Sue, you know, is there a draft going on? I still doubt it. I still doubt Him, the Holy Spirit, which is dreadful. But I felt it just now, and it's brilliant. And I'm going to say this. It seems stronger at the front, okay? but it is different for everybody. When we first became Christians, we went to a church where the Holy Spirit was present, and it wasn't for us. There were people falling down, hands up in the air, doing everything, and we came away because we didn't want it. And I think that the difference that's happened over the last 10 years is that we've relaxed, we're more open to the Holy Spirit, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to be part of us, whereas before we put the shutters up. And I think the other thing that has been going on as well, and we talked about it, been talking about it in our sermon series, is this identity. And I think part of the Living Free course for me, people prayed for me and told me what God created me to be. And it was an incredibly powerful time because it was about leadership, and I just didn't think I was ready for that. And yet, you know, three different people said, you know, you're meant to be leading, be a leader, and God will equip you. And I think for everybody here, you know, find out what your identity is, find out what God created you to be, your life will change.
I think one of the most significant things we're hearing this evening is just the way that Derek and Sue have kept their hearts soft towards God. They've remained humble. They recognize that you don't reach an age where God has nothing left to teach you. I think we can all take in something from that, which is wonderful. So let's move on a little bit further. And many of us in the church family will know that you're actually moving to Exeter shortly, which is baffling to most of us, but that's it. And we rejoice because you're following the Lord's leading. But actually, this isn't something that's just happened recently. You've had this sense of a call to Exeter before. Just tell us a little bit about the first time and why it didn't happen.
Well, it was in 2013. We had one son and family living in Exeter. We thought, should we be moving there to retire properly? And we went down, we stayed a few days, we house hunted seriously. But it didn't feel right. And for me, if God is talking to me, I notice this more and more, I get a little stirring inside me. And sometimes I get restless and I can become a bit agitated. And I recognise this more now that God is trying to tell me something. So we didn't move, much to my son's disappointment. But lo and behold, 2 weeks later, we had a letter from, well, Derek had a letter from Paul inviting him to consider to be church warden. Mm. And he did. And this is 5 years on now.
Mm.
And it was one of the best letters I've ever written. As the church family will testify, it's been such a blessing to us all.
It was interesting at that time that when we decided, we came back from Exeter 2008 and decided that we weren't going to move. And the next, sorry, what time?
2013.
So 13, sorry. Useless with dates. So having decided that God has said no to us, the next morning we woke up and outside our house, in our garden, was a for sale sign. And we thought, God, what are you doing? You know, is this a sign from God? It obviously wasn't. It was a mistake. We live in Eastwood Road. It should have gone to Eastwood Crescent. But it was really, it was quite funny.
Also, at this time, I had a strong calling to be part of the children's team. I felt very refreshed, having been off teaching for a while. And so I helped with the Sunday groups and the Easter and Christmas experiences and schools work. I find it very fulfilling. Our home group changed dramatically at this time. We had another group merge with us, and we went from no children to 13 children almost overnight. So this period was very exciting for different reasons. Mm. Mm.
Mm. And now you're on the cusp of the fourth season, which is actually going to involve moving to Exeter. So why don't you tell us very briefly, because we need to wrap up in a few minutes, but just tell us about that, and in particular, again, the sense of how God has led you and the sense of him calling you to be fruitful in the future.
It hasn't been an easy decision, leaving our lovely church, our home, 30-odd years, our neighbours, home group, friends, but it does feel the right decision. Last August, we began to think about it again, and by this time now, unusually, all our sons, lovely wives, 7 grandchildren, all live in Exeter. By Christmas, we had made up our mind and told our families. We told Paul and Jackie and the leadership team in February. We sold our house in April. And just last week, had an offer accepted on a house in the locality where we'd like to live, close to the park in Heavytree. We're just outside Heavytree, but it's about 20 minutes walk. So all along the way, we have recognised God leading us, calming us when we get stressed about moving particularly and tense and have doubts, but we feel we have seen him in the whole process so far.
Mm. I think it's been a real lesson and in God guiding us, and I've borrowed this from an app, some of you will know, Bible in 1 Year, which is a Holy Trinity Brompton thing with Nicky Gumbel, and he talks about 5 different aspects of God's guidance, and again reflecting on this whole process, we've met all 5. You know, one of them is common sense. We knew that we wanted to sell our house before we looked for another one, and I think for us that was common sense. God provided us with an amazing. He's not sure. He was sure this morning, and Paul embarrassed him. But we have an amazing Christian estate agent who had just joined our home group, who had just become a Christian, who had just become solo from the main estate agent that he worked in. So God's providence was tremendous. We're counseled by friends and even strangers told us, you know, just out of the blue, make sure that you look for a house and spend your time looking for a house because, it's a really important decision. And when the sign went up, the proper sign that went up in our garden, watched the bloke knock it in, our knees were knocking. But it was a statement for us. It said, God, we trust you in this process. And I think that's the important thing, that confidence to trust God in whatever we do. And when the enemy attacks us, which he did, you know, on a number of occasions we'd argue, the traffic going down to Exeter, particularly on this house that we bought, was horrendous. And we recognized the attack of the enemy. And then God intervenes. God just says to us, you know, calm down. You know, it's going to be fine. And then two people, again, God's providence, two people, a guy from the congregation here, said that we could borrow a house in near Exeter. And then we met the people who were buying our house. She was walking past the house, and she said that she was in no hurry to buy the house, or to complete on the house. So it just helped us to relax. So in a moment of angst and anxiety, God intervenes and sends people to us. And I think that's been absolutely key. Absolutely.
And interesting, as Derek and Sue shared their testimony this morning, there was a couple here for the first and probably only time from Exeter who go to one of their son's churches, and the wife teaches one of your grandchild.
Yes.
So that was amazing.
And involved with Parklife.
Which is excellent. So we're going to wrap up here, and just hopefully you've made some notes. Hopefully you'll be using this and particularly addressing the question, what season are you in at the moment? And how is God enabling you to bear fruit? All our stories will be different. Not all of us will have the sort of stories that Derek and Sue have been able to share with us. And yet, one of the things we're learning, in a world that defines success in so many ways, I think Derek and Sue have helped to see that in the Christian life, success looks almost identical to obedience and listening to what God says and then seeking to follow. So what we'd love to do now, we'd love to pray for people who've shared testimony. We're going to our family tradition here at Christchurch is Derek and Sue will come into the middle. We've got a couple of microphones. If you'd like to pray aloud over Derek and Sue, we'd love you to have the chance to do that. If you sense God give a word or a picture for them, especially if it's cancel everything and stay in Bristol. That's probably not going to be a word from the Lord. But anyway, we'd love you to just speak truth and blessing over them and invite the worship team to come back to the front so they're ready to lead us into a close when we've done this bit of praying. So, Derek and Sue, come on. Can I invite you to stand with me? You can move around Derek and Sue, particularly if you know them well, even if you don't. But particularly if you think, come slightly further up. Into the middle. Particularly if you sense the Lord giving you a prayer for them or a word for them, we'd love you to have the chance to do that. Jackie's got one microphone. She's already handed it over. Mm-hmm. And I've got another one. So pray away, Catherine. Hold out your hands if you're happy to do that to Derek and Sue.
You guys have been more than just friends to people in this church. You have been mum and dad. You've been mentors. You've been siblings. You've been friends. And I'm so grateful, and all of our home group are so, so grateful for everything that you've done for us, for everything you've given us, and for the incredible example that you have led to so many people in this church. And everyone that I speak to who, when they hear that you're leaving, they're like, we're going to miss them, but they're going to be such a gift to the church where they're going. So I just want you to be lifted on that and to take that with you, that you are loved and that the church that you're going to is going to love you too, because God does. So thank you for that.
Yes, Lord, we thank you so much for their lives and their example. Lord, and we pray that in your mercy, you will carry on guiding, showing the way ahead. Lord, and I'm sure they're going to be an incredible blessing to many other people. protect them from all evil. Give them vision. And especially that everything they do, they will carry on doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not with their wisdom, not with their understanding, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, just fill them with more power from above, Lord, we ask you. And this is where we pray that your heart, your inner being will be full of the power of the Holy Spirit, so you may understand how deep and wide is the love of Christ for you. And that wherever you go, it will be like a, yes, not like a dam, but like a river, flowing love and compassion and mercy to the people. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I just have a picture for you. It's God's glory is coming down on you, and it's in the form of golden cloaks. And these golden cloaks are also made up of flags. And flags in the Old Testament, the people flag bearers often were the first to walk out in battle, the ones who led the army. I just feel God saying that where you go, wherever you go, you will lead an army, whether that be one person or many. And so when you get to Exeter, you will find your place, you will slot right in, and it will be beautiful, and it will be holy, and it won't be any fuss or worry. So I just ask for that to be true, and after that to be right, and that they will just fit in, and they will always wear their gold cloaks with pride. Amen.
Amen. I don't know you, but I just had a picture of a wedding ring and a huge diamond engagement ring sitting and fitting perfectly together. I feel that it's a triune symbol of your love and commitment to one another, of God's love and faithfulness to you, and your commitment, his commitment to you, because you are his bride. And that you will symbolise that love and commitment to the new people that you're going to. Just a very tight bond, the symbol of the eternal circle of the wedding ring. And, yeah, that sense of love, faithfulness and commitment that is in your relationship with one another, your relationship with God, and God having gone before you and prepared that to be the fruit of your life in Exeter as well.
Father, thank you for Derek and Sue. Thank you for what's been spoken over them. Thank you for those pictures, those images to take away. And we just pray that they will inform and shape, inspire and encourage them in the days and weeks and months ahead. And we send them out with our fondest love and our dearest wish for your richest blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Thank you. We're going to turn our focus back onto Jesus in praise. Quite often at the five, if you're newish to us, we have a sort of soft ending, so I'll probably indicate that in just a short while. But for a little bit longer, let's focus back on the God who's leading Derek and Sue on, and the God who wants to be with us and be our guide and companion this week.